Alex Holmstrom-Smith, welcome to KABU.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Alexandra Holmstrom-Smith is an activist and an employment lawyer born and raised in New York City. In graduate school, Alex was active in her union, UAW 2865, which represents graduate student employees at the University of California. In fact, you heard an interview with them. They were on strike, an immense strike, on this old Mo Variety Hour. Today, Alex organizes with the New York City Democratic Socialists of America. She sings in its Solidarity Choir. Alex is also a writer. She's written down on a variety of socialist and feminist issues, including labor, commercial surrogacy, gun politics. Recently, Alex wrote an important article, Leftists Need Holidays Too. Let's imagine anti-oppressive ones. And more recently, I suspect partly for the purpose of building holidays and celebration, Alex co-founded the Red Cosmos Society, a new collective for building a revolutionary secular community. So, Alex, tell us how and why you got interested in alternative celebrations, and holidays, and memorials. And it was not just a passive interest. You were committed to organizing them with some help from your friends. First, though, what got you interested in alternative celebrations and holidays?
So I've always been interested in left-wing culture. I am a red diaper baby. My parents were in the International Socialist Organization and then Solidarity when I was growing up. And I also went to Camp Kinderland, which is one of the few remaining summer camps that were founded by communists and socialists in the 1930s. You know, back when the left was much bigger, they had kind of a whole suite of community social activities and institutions. So that's one that kind of has remained. And so, you know, at the camp, we learned about history of left movements. We sang a lot of songs from different movements. And I always loved that. But then when it came to holidays, we always kind of celebrated Christmas in a little bit of a slightly ironic ways, maybe. We put a red star at the top of our Christmas tree and we put political buttons on, mixed in with the ornaments, and, you know, we made it our own thing. But it was always a little bit funny to me because, like, I was raised as an atheist and my cousins who always come on Christmas are Jewish. So it's just kind of like, why are we even celebrating Christmas? It's like a little bit of an odd thing, but it's just, you know, what we did. But other things I felt like I was kind of lacking when it came to holidays or ritual ways of dealing with phases of life, for example. So I did have some friends who had a bat mitzvah when they were growing up, and I didn't have that. I didn't actually know anyone in my close friends who did that. But I remember my mom talking about it, like, should we do some kind of ceremony for coming of age? But it was very ambiguous. And then when my grandma died, I realized that, you know, we were a little bit kind of starting from scratch in terms of what did we want to do to have a commemoration for her death, and how did we want to even deal with the body itself, and, you know, all of these things that are often kind of guided by religious traditions. We were sort of starting from scratch, and I felt like that made it harder in some ways because we were kind of just didn't have a playbook. So I always liked science fiction, and some years ago I was reading this book, The Parable of the Sower and the Parable of the Talents by Octavia Butler. And in it, she has a character who starts her own religion. And it's about, like, humans' destiny to go to space. And I just remember reading that and feeling like, oh, yeah, like, you can just start new things, you know? Like, there's no reason that we have to keep doing the old traditions or that you can't just found a new tradition. So that was kind of how I got the idea. And then once I started, you know, I talked with my friends and stuff. And once I came up with our first holiday, which was May Day, we wanted to do May Day Eve, it's called, the night before May Day, which we can talk about that more later. But, you know, once I started it, I was like, well, I don't take it seriously. No one else is going to take it seriously. So I had to be committed to doing it every year, you know, no matter what. So that was just sort of how I got into it. And it's been about 5 years now, I think.
You know, reading your article, I had the sense that part of your motivation was sort of revulsion for many of our official holidays and even more of the sort of made-up holidays by the candy sellers or the many people who are predating on people's need for holidays and ceremonies and role-playing of different kinds, like the Mardi Gras, the Super Bowl. All of them are really corporate festivals that develop corporate sorts of ideas that make them sacred almost. And I think that's part of it. But I also had the sense that once you got into it, you were really inspired. And, you know, it's like a really a good rally sometimes where there's singing and good talks. You feel sort of one with people and you recognize that you're not alone. In fact, many of my old jobs with justice meetings and old mole meetings and many others, they can be really inspiring. Did I read your thing correctly, or was I projecting my own affection for ceremonies and being together with people?
Yeah, no, and for sure.
Why don't you talk about some of the hideous holidays that they have, like Columbus Day?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, mainstream holidays, unsurprisingly, have been completely co-opted by capitalism. I mean, at one point, they may have had some, you know, more formal religious significance, but at this point, yeah, it's an excuse for companies to sell people stuff, right? I mean, Christmas, also Black Friday after Thanksgiving, it's repulsive. I mean, people have died in stampedes at like Walmart. And I just can't think of any more fitting example of just how horrible our consumer culture is in this country. And then when it comes to the actual like historical origins of these things. I mean, a good friend of mine from graduate school, Amra Solomon Johnson, just wrote an article on why Thanksgiving should be abolished, because from her perspective as an Indigenous activist, there's just no redeeming that colonial history and making it some kind of nice, cozy thing about being thankful and gratitude and whatnot, because it actually is founded based on this false history of the supposed happy cooperation between early colonists and, you know, Native peoples, when we know, in fact, the early history was one of genocide and horrible murder. And, you know, same thing with Columbus Day, right? So it's really jarring for a lot of people who are aware of that history and kind of know about those things. But Thanksgiving is the day that we all have off. And so people, that's when they can meet with their families. And they do want to get together with family and friends and, you know, do celebrations. So it's almost like we all just get kind of herded into these existing traditions. But for people who have a different perspective, sometimes they can reinterpret an existing holiday in some new way that is meaningful for them. But a lot of people, it's like not really good enough. And so it just continues to be kind of a source of cognitive dissonance in terms of, you know, your values and your politics and sort of like, what are we commemorating on these dates?
Yeah, Columbus Day is a great example because, in fact, the indigenous have called attention to the real Columbus. He didn't discover America. What he did was torture the people, the indigenous who he encountered, tortured and murdered them in his pursuit of gold. Very little of it was in their hands, the indigenous Taino people. But they've also, at least at KBOO, we do celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, where we talk about the civilizations that were invaded and destroyed and the genocides in Latin America under the Spanish, but then continuing. It seems to me that going at those holidays in that way provides an opening for talking, especially to kids, how early capitalism operated before it was semi-civilized, which it's not actually. There's still a huge amount of death, in fact, but not in the minds of the United States. Still a lot, but it seems to me that challenging those days is not only instructive, but it challenges people's sense of how the country works. And you can go from challenging Columbus Day to talking about the NRA and the gun lobby and the people who support open carry, which is a political intimidation tactic. We can talk about the amount of death that they in fact cause and why they do it. Anyway, why don't you reply?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that the existing holidays can be a pedagogical tool for young people and, you know, for the public to, yeah, question some of our consumer culture, our colonial history, and everything in between. I think when I was, I think in maybe high school or a while back, sometimes I would attend these anti-sweatshop protests in Midtown with, I believe it was called the National Labor Committee, and they were calling for, you know, people to shop with a conscience or maybe not to shop at all, you know, but using the holiday season when they know a lot of people are shopping to get people's attention around labor conditions in, you know, the factories that were making these clothes. And yeah, even now, like my chorus, Sing in Solidarity, which is the chorus of New York CSA, we do a caroling thing every year. And we do a mix of kind of reinterpreting Christmas carols with different lyrics, you know, so we have some lyrics about canceling rent to the tune of the dreidel song and, you know, stuff like that, which is just entertaining, you know, but it's kind of a hook to bring people in. But we also have a song that is kind of more serious. That's kind of the story of Jesus as a working man and how he was like a proto-communist kind of character. So that's a different angle, right, of like taking the religious aspect of the holiday seriously and then trying to, you know, make an argument that the real values really align more with socialism than with capitalist consumer version of Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas is, after all, it can be seen, and you pointed out, as objectionable because it elevates one man to become king. It's tremendously patriarchal in some ways. But in other ways, it seems to me that it can be used exactly like the essay in New York in their satirical song did. After all, Jesus was a Jewish communist, basically, who tried to clean out the temple of the money changers from the temple and fought the Romans. And the Romans actually gave him some chances to live if he wouldn't continue his efforts. And he refused and rejected. The real Jesus, it seems to me, is a remarkable figure. In any event, Christmas also could be thought of as a holiday that actually supports the challenge to our illegitimate authority that the Romans had in Palestine in that period.
Yeah.
So this is Bill Resnick talking to Alex Holmes from Smith on the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO Radio. She wrote an important article, Leftists Need Holidays, Let's Imagine Anti-Oppressive Ones. We just covered why Alex Holmes from Smith became increasingly interested and in fact committed to organizing holidays and ceremonies that inspire, that educate, and that, as she said in her essay, that inspire collective memories and knowledge and pleasure. Alex, you've also created and organizing two holidays that are now going on yearly. Tell us about them.
Yeah, so one of the first holidays that I organized is called May Day Eve, and I kind of modeled it after Passover. And the idea was, you know, May Day on the day of, I didn't want to conflict with that because sometimes there are big marches that unions do and different kinds of things that are already on the table. But I thought it would be nice to have some time also around May Day to have a more reflective kind of event or, you know, to an opportunity to reflect on the history of May Day and the history of worker struggle and to do that in community with people. So I kind of took the idea of doing it the night before, and we have a dinner and we talk about the history of May Day. We talk about the worker struggle, and we, you know, we found some different ways to kind of incorporate it into the meal to make it memorable. So one thing I did early on was I decided we should all sing Bread and Roses, and then I made a cake that was flavored with rose water. And we talked about how, you know, the meaning of the Bread and Roses song and how it's about how workers also deserve to have not just, you know, bread to survive, but also beauty and art and, you know, good things in life. And so that was kind of eating dessert after the meal that was kind of symbolic of that. And then we started doing this other thing. You know, May Day comes out of the struggle of the 8-hour day, which was the big demand at the time of the Haymarket riot. And the struggle for the 8-hour day, the slogan was 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours for what we will. And so we started doing this thing where we would have 8 little like spicy things, like 8 wasabi peas or 8 dabs of wasabi to symbolize, you know, our suffering and our work. And then we have 8 little bland crackers or something, and then 8 of whatever you want of different snacks. people could pick what they wanted. Or I also, one time I made a plate with like assorted things around the plate. And, you know, it maybe seems a little corny, but it's just a kind of a way to remember the struggle for the 8-hour day. And it's fun to do together. And, you know, we usually have some poetry reading and we have a little time for some songs. And so that's a really nice event that we do in May. And then the other one that I've been doing for a while is called Martyrs Day. And it's, you know, kind of loosely inspired by Dia de Muertos or other kinds of ancestor veneration types of practices. So I called it, you know, Martyrs Day is a little bit loose because it doesn't only have to be about martyrs, but we wanted to basically expand the concept of ancestry beyond just your biological family. So thinking of political figures from the past who maybe you look up to in some way or inspired you, that could be like your chosen ancestor, you know, with the concept of chosen family that people have. And, you know, part of what I'm trying to do is to create or reinforce a kind of sense of shared identity, that we are people committed to a struggle for a better world, that we're not alone, we're doing it together with other people today, and we're also continuing the struggles of people in the past. And, you know, I think the implication is that hopefully people will continue the same struggle in the future after you and I are long gone. So for those of us who don't necessarily believe in an afterlife, it's still, you know, we care about what happens in the material world. And I think these kinds of traditions can encourage people. I mean, we can't control the future, but we can encourage people to continue these traditions and to hopefully remember some of the work that people are doing now and to continue doing it. So for that holiday, we talk about the importance of remembering the past. We have some space for each person to talk about someone that they want to remember. And again, it can be, you know, a political figure from the past, or it could be a family member, you know, someone who had an impact on their life. And it could be also, you know, someone whose death you think should not go unmarked. And I think it's important that we do these practices because, you know, our history is told by the winners and by the ruling class, basically, right? So, you know, it's only by retelling stories that we're going to remember the, you know, lives of working people and, you know, people who are marginalized from society in different kinds of ways. So we kind of have that time to talk about different people that we want to remember. And I've done some research and found a bunch of songs from the left tradition, you know, different left traditions from different places and different times that are about different martyrs or about just a general idea of martyrdom or of remembering people who have passed on. And we sing a bunch of those songs. And, you know, it's also kind of pedagogically useful, I think, because, well, number one, because you're learning stories, like there's a song about Sacco and Vanzetti, the famous Italian anarchist wrongfully executed by the United States in the early 20th century. So everyone who comes to Martyrs Day, if they hadn't heard of Sacco and Vanzetti before, now they have, you know, so that's part of the point of it. And then also, you know, there's some, like there's a song called Beloved Comrade that's just about remembering a beloved comrade and pledging to continue the struggle after their death. And, you know, those are things that there's a lot of shared themes that you'll find in the literature of poems and songs from the left about sort of how we interpret and, you know, really deal with our own mortality. And I think, you know, finding that those themes in the literature is useful for people who are, you know, basically orienting their lives around this kind of struggle. I mean, we've also made an altar in the past with like people who can put like pictures of their person that they want to talk about. And, you know, I like crafts, so I'm always big for all the holidays. I have lots of flowers and make everything look pretty, you know, which is, you know, part of making sure that also our traditions and everything that we also, it's kind of like honoring the people that we're talking about and also making it an expression of our aesthetic commitments as well, I guess.
This is KBOO Radio, 90.7 FM, Portland, Oregon, the Old Mole Variety Hour. You just heard Bill Resnick, that's me, interviewing Alex Holmstrom Smith on the need for the left to develop holidays, rituals, ceremonies that carry a message that another better world, a democratic, sustainable world is necessary and possible. And Alex gave numerous examples For more discussion, I recommend listeners go to her wonderful essay on the website Truthout, Leftists Need Holidays Too. Let's imagine anti-oppressive ones. Alex Holmstrom Smith, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so long, Alex.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, so long.